This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Zach Harper from The Athletic joins us. You can follow Zach on Twitter at TalkHoops or on X. Zach, good to have you with us.
Hey, Zach.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
So we're sitting here in Cleveland, and you have a lead on the Charlotte Hornets going into the fourth quarter, and the Knicks were losing to the Bulls at the time, and blah, 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 blah. Bottom line is Cavs sat everybody, lost the fourth quarter lead. Lose, end up with Orlando in the first round. Is that the matchup you want if you're the Cavaliers, Zach?
I think it is, because let's say you grab the two seed and now you have to play the game of, is Joel Embiid going to be healthy, right? And If Joel Embiid is going to be healthy, that is a tough series. And if he's going to be in good condition, that is a tough series. That Sixers team was a 65 win pace team when he played this year. Like they were really good when he played, even coming back from injury. So that's dangerous. Or you face the Miami Heat, and we saw what they were able to do. I don't think this Heat team is quite as good or as focused as last year's team, but we've seen the Heat turn it on in the playoffs and make a deep run and embarrass people before. And so you want to avoid that. This Orlando team's really good. Like they've been exceptional defensively since about one third of the way through last season. The last two-thirds of the season, they were above 500, and they were, I think, the fourth or fifth best defense in the league. This year, one of the best defenses in the league, had great success, but they're so young. Like, Joe Ingles is the only guy in that rotation with any kind of age and experience. Everyone else is very young. So if you're the Cavs, you're banking on one. Our healthy version of us is much better than this team, which I think is a reasonable thing for them to believe. And two, these guys have to figure out what playoff basketball is against us, and they don't want to do that against our defense.
All right, so I'm listening to everything you're saying, and the Cavs maybe wouldn't be playing Orlando if they wouldn't have kind of did a little scoreboard watching going into the fourth quarter yesterday. What did you think of what the Cavs did yesterday? They had the lead, they pulled the starters, and then they lost the game.
Look, I mean, it's not the most above board thing to do, right? You could argue it's a little cowardly and everything, but also it's gamesmanship. I mean, if you're not worried about angering basketball gods, the Cavs aren't the first team to do this. We see this pretty much every year with a team deciding to like, no, you know what? We don't care about this last game or these last two games. We want this matchup. We think we can win that matchup. And sometimes it works out for them and sometimes it doesn't. I think it puts the pressure though on the Cavs to, you have to win the series. I mean, they had pressure anyway to need to at least get out of the first round with this team after what happened last year. But it does put more pressure on them. I don't mind lumping more and more pressure on a team to see if they come out of it on the positive side, because then it kind of tells you about what you're building moving forward.
You like J.B. Bickerstaff as a playoff coach, Zach?
I got to be honest. I don't know if we've seen enough to know. I didn't love how they played last year. I thought that series was going to be one of the best and one of the most competitive first round series. And then it was just kind of a laugher and like, yeah, the injuries happen and you know, guys are banged up and everything. I want to see this Cavs team be better offensively. I think there's too much talent on this team not to be better offensively. And at least for this season, you know, that they had guys in and out of lineups and there are plenty of reasons to say, like, oh, this offense should have been better if this and if that. But when we see their main lineup on the floor, it's a very good defensive team, an elite defensive team, and the offense is pretty spotty. And I want to see more of that out of JB and his coaching staff in the postseason. Like, with Darius Garland, with Donovan Mitchell, assuming they're healthy and they're ready to go at 100% or close to it, that's too much talent just in the backcourt to be as bad offensively as they've been.
Yeah, we say that all the time. I'm just – how much of this playoff run is going to dictate the future of Donovan Mitchell as a Cavalier?
I think it's massive. Like, I think if they're out in the first round, I think not only is he going to question it, I think they should question it. Did we make the right move? Is he the right guy? The way that ended in Utah was ugly, and it was bad. And, you know, we always clown Rudy Gobert for Terrence Mann dropping 40 on him in a playoff game and the Mavs just eviscerating the Jazz and everything. And granted, Rudy needs to be better. Don't get me wrong. I think Rudy deserves a lot of that praise. But at least during that Maverick series where Jalen Brunson went off against him, Donovan Mitchell played the worst playoff defense I've ever seen out of anybody. Like, it was that bad. And so he has plenty of questions. I think he's been living a little high off the bubble performance against Denver from 4 years ago. And I think that this is a good test for both sides. Is this an organization that Donovan Mitchell sees his best chance of winning in the future and where he wants to be? And for the Cavs side of it, is this the star that we want to continue to hitch our wagon to?
Zach, with that in mind, Donovan's playoff record, if you're just looking, you know, and you can't blame it on one guy, but he's not had great success in the playoffs. Right. Why do you think that is? Is it the teams that he's been on, or is there something with him in the playoffs? You know, is he being asked to carry the team like crazy and not enough there? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think at various times it's been any of those reasons, right? Like, that Jazz team got very toxic after 2020, and it just, you know, the guys didn't get along, and it was bad. Like, it was a bad locker room, and I think that kind of tore things down. I think there are times where Donovan Mitchell just makes bad decisions on offense, especially at the end of games where he tries to – it's the same thing we criticize Jason Tatum for, right? Like, you're going for the hero shot and the cool one that looks great on highlights rather than just what's the best play for you to make. And I just think Donovan Mitchell's way too talented to keep making those decisions. And then there are times where he's got to carry a team that's just not good enough, right? And I don't think that this Cavs team should qualify as that. Again, I think there's a ton of talent on this team, but it might just not be the right mix for him to carry. And I think above all, the way he becomes kind of burden proof with that is he just has to make the better decisions out there consistently.
Zach Harper joining us, covers the NBA for The Athletic, and you can follow Zach on X Talk Hoops. So I'm looking way too far down the road, but you're with us right now, and you're a great guy to ask this question. If the Cavs doesn't go well and they decide to break it up a little bit, if you wanted to move Donovan Mitchell before the contract situation came up, what could you get in return? And if Donovan said, I want to stay, and you decided to move Darius Garland, what could you get in return?
I think you can get a massive return, right? I think you can get players who play now. I think you can get that with draft picks. I don't know that it's going to look like what they gave up. Let's say if they're moving on from Donovan, I don't know that you're getting an all-star like Lauri Markkanen turned out to be and all of those picks and pick swaps and the young guy. Like, I don't know if you're getting all that, but I still think you get significant players, either one player that comes back in return or you break that into multiple players to make a deeper team. But there's still plenty of teams out there that would love to have Donovan Mitchell on their roster. Guy, you know, teams that need guards, teams that need an elevated all-star, all-NBA level guard to help boost things for their struggling franchises. I think there's a lot there. Garland's a little bit different. It's lower on that totem pole, but he's still awesome. Like, he's still a great shooter. He's a good point guard. He's an all-star. You're probably getting, you know, more like NBA ready players now, veterans now, rather than draft picks for him. But I still think you can get, you know, probably for Donovan, 70 to 75 cents on what you gave up to get him, which would still be a good return. And for Darius, it's probably something a little bit less than that, but still a quality return. I mean, even a team like Orlando, like, that's a good young team who is desperately needing guards, like, desperately needs guards. If they came calling, they've got picks and they've got young guys and good quality players to move. So I think that there's a lot you can get for either of those guys.
Yeah, I think the hard part about this for Cavalier fans is going to be they haven't even paid for the bill on Donovan Mitchell.
Right.
He's going to be gone.
Right.
That is.
He could not be here, and you owe possibly five number ones, right? In some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. It makes my stomach turn. It's a hard pill to swallow if you're here in Cleveland. I just want, Zach, before we even move forward on that too, who do you like in the East? I mean, outside of Boston, who can give them the biggest challenge is probably the best way to ask that. Sorry.
I do like this Knicks team a lot. Not having Julius Randle is both a good thing and a bad thing for them. I think he turns things into very, kind of stagnant, stale basketball offensively at times when he doesn't really have it going and he's trying to find that rhythm. But when he is going and they're flying around the court, this is a very intelligent team. I don't know if Tom Thibodeau teams usually don't have that extra gear in the playoffs because he's had them running at such a high gear in the regular season. So that can be a little bit of a tough adjustment for them. But I like that team. They've been great since OG Anunoby got there. When he's on the court, they just kill teams. And so I like that pathway for them. I'm not believing in Milwaukee. I don't think Doc Rivers is that good of a coach. I don't think this team has it in terms of whatever resilience they need to overcome every storyline from this season, especially with the Giannis injury. It's just not there. I'm not buying Joel Embiid necessarily being that healthy or healthy enough to make a significant run in the postseason. I'll hold out, hope is the wrong word, but I'll hold out promise for the Heat to do something similar to what they did last year, just because I think Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in basketball. We know when Jimmy Butler is locked in and Bam Adebayo is locked in, we know what that looks like. But again, like, this team does not look anything like what we saw last year. And so it does feel like there are zero excuses for Boston to not make the finals this year. Absolutely zero excuses.
Zach Harper joining us from The Athletic. Western Conference, Oklahoma City had a great year. Number one seed. Denver, defending champs. Minnesota, great year. Number three seed. Are the 1 and 3 seeds legit? And could they actually challenge Denver in the West? Or are the Clippers ready to make a move? What do you think, Zach?
It's a great question. Like, I don't even know the Clippers are going to get out the first round against Dallas. Dallas has been unbelievable the last month and a half, to where most of the season they were just outscoring teams because their offense was so good and their defense was terrible. The last month and a half, they've had one of the best defenses in the league and one of the best offenses in the league, and their schedule was not that easy. So I think Dallas can make a big run. The Thunder, we're going to see. I think we forget that this was a 40-win team that didn't make the playoffs last year, got bounced in the play-in tournament, and now they're the one seed in the West, and they're, an average of like 23 years old for their rotation right now. I mean, it's an extremely young team. Young teams don't usually persevere in the postseason, but this team is so talented and so good on both ends of the floor, and their coach is so good. So I think they're legitimate. The Wolves, I don't know, man. Like, I want to believe in the Wolves. I want them. I think Anthony Edwards is a superstar in this league and is going to do great things. But this first-round matchup against the Suns is bad for them. It's a bad matchup. And so I think we could see more frustration from Minnesota in getting bounced early just because the Suns, who I don't really believe – I've tried to believe in the Suns all year – they've made me not believe in them, but at least in this first-round matchup, that's a bad matchup for the Wolves.
Zach, you look at the play-in tournament in the West, and you think, really? You got the Pelicans. You got the Lakers at 8. You got Golden State at 10. That could be – if you're Oklahoma City and you end up with, the Lakers in the first round, that's an interesting first-round matchup. Does Golden State have a chance to get out of there? Do the Lakers have a chance to do anything in the playoffs? Because those are two teams that you would think you don't want to play.
Yeah, I mean, I think as long as the Lakers don't win their game tomorrow, they have a chance. They don't want to match up. They can talk a good game. They don't want to match up with Denver in the first round. Denver's going to sweep them. Like, Denver's just – they have every answer for anything the Lakers want to do. If the Lakers do make it to the 8th seed, that's a very interesting matchup because – AD was just a monster against Chet this year. Like, that's a bad matchup for Chet, and they don't have a whole lot of size to combat him. And I think you could see the Lakers play big and be really physical and maybe rattle that young team. The Warriors, man, like, I've struggled with this all year of, like, do we believe in what we see in front of us, or do we just believe in their resume? Because the resume is incredible, right? The resume is unimpeachable. But what we see, at no point this season – have I watched them, even when they got healthy, and thought, this is championship basketball level of play. They've been really good, but not championship level. So I think they can get out of that play-in tournament and get into the 8th seed, but I don't think that they would give the Thunder more than a 6 or 7 game series. I don't think they upset that unless the Thunder have a big injury.
Big picture question. What are we, 4 years now into this, into the bubble? Into the play-in tournament? Is it working? Is it right? Has it helped the game?
I think it's the best thing that the NBA has done in years. Mm-hmm. I really do, because the byproduct of this, it's not just that it's a fun week before the playoffs actually start. It keeps teams engaged pretty much the whole season. Like, you don't see as many teams tanking anymore because they do have this hope of, you know what, we can still make the play-in tournament. And I think what the Lakers did last year and what the Heat did last year in terms of the Lakers making the conference finals, the Heat making the NBA finals, kind of shows a pathway of, like, your season isn't over just because you got into the play-in tournament. Now, you have to be really good. You have to have Jimmy Butler going on that run, or you have to have LeBron James and AD. Like, you have to have top talent in order to pull it off. But I think it's eliminated a lot of tanking that would normally happen, a lot of bad decisions of just letting players go at the trade deadline. You see teams at the trade deadline now, we have more buyers and sellers every single year because everyone thinks, well, we're at least a player away from getting into the play-in tournament and maybe making some noise. So I think, you know, the NBA has struck out with a lot of things. We'll see if the in-season tournament ends up being a long-term thing that works. But the play-in tournament, I think, is unimpeachable.
Zach, last thought, and we'll go back to the Cavs. No matter what happens in the playoffs this year, if Donovan Mitchell does not sign an extension this summer, what do you do if you're Kobe Altman?
I think you have to trade him. I really do, and I'm not trying to be doom and gloom here, but I just, if he's not willing to sign an extension, and there are plenty of reasons not to sign an extension, right? Like, you can get more money by hitting free agency and then re-signing with the team and more years and everything. So it wouldn't be necessarily, oh, he's out, but we've seen too many times franchises believe, we're still going to re-sign him, and then the player leaves for nothing. And I just don't think the Cavs, with what they gave up to get him, I think you have to start being aggressive and almost be like, it's a very different situation, but almost what Utah was with Deron Williams, you know, seemingly 1,000 years ago, where that whole thing started falling apart, and then they kind of surprised teams by moving Deron Williams. And I think you would have to kind of get out in front of that early. I think Kobe's a good GM. I think they have a good squad. I think JB's a good coach, and they still have plenty to prove, but you could still get a lot for Donovan if you get out into that trade market early and you set up a bidding war. And I think that's realistically what you would have to do.
Great to have you with us, Zach. Thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
Follow Zach all through the NBA playoffs at Talk Hoops and read him on The Athletic. You'll get great coverage. Thank you, Zach.
Appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
Zach Harper from The Athletic joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You heard what he just said about Donovan Mitchell, didn't you? If he doesn't sign this summer, you got to try and move him. Do you agree, Cavs fans? It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rush.
We just had Zach Harper from The Athletic join us. And we asked Zach about the future of Donovan Mitchell here. And we know the deal. He can opt into the last year of his contract, right? And then they want to, and he can opt out. And you want an extension. And I said, Zach, what if Donovan Mitchell doesn't sign an extension this summer? What should the Cavaliers do? And that's from Zach Harper from The Athletic moments ago here on Baskin and Phelps. If you missed it, go back and listen to it at 92.3thefan.com or on the Odyssey app. You agree? If he doesn't sign an extension this summer, do you want to move him?
Yeah, you got to go. You got to pick a direction.
You don't want to wait till the trade deadline. What if it goes well this year? What if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals? You want to wait till the trade deadline? See if maybe he's... But if
do I have to make a decision right now? You're saying, Andy, make a decision now? Or what do I think?
Yeah, that's kind of the point.
All right, so if I have to make a decision now, I'm going to go with what he said. You got to trade him in the offseason. You're going to get more for him. The hard part, I keep going back to this. Man, you have not even come close to paying the bill on him. And it's going to be a tough stomach. It's going to be tough
Three
to
number
stomach.
Ones, definitely going to Utah, and two pick swaps.
And you're going to have to watch that for the next couple of years. It's like you kind of look at the Deshaun Watson deal, and you're like, oh, we gave up all these first-round picks. But Deshaun's here.
Yeah.
So you have the investment return is still in front
of
you.
So it could be just three number ones.
I mean, could you imagine if you would send Donovan Mitchell somewhere else, and then he starts knocking you out of the playoffs every year, and just like, oh, it just makes – it's sour stomach, man. It's gross. You can't deal with it.
I wonder – and here's the catch to me. Let's just say, okay, let's just say the Cavs have a great playoff run, even get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And that would mean the way this is set up, you'd either have to beat Philadelphia, Miami, or Boston in the second round. Okay? That's mm-hmm. the way this is set up. Let's say you get to the Eastern Conference Finals and he doesn't want to sign an extension. Well, then he never would he? You would think.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Desmond is in New York City. Hello, Des.
Guys, how embarrassed are you? Who sent the code red on that loss?
That's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question, Des.
That's a really good one.
It's just they're cheating the game. I just felt like they were
how embarrassing.
Cheating.
How
Although,
embarrassing.
I mean, look, if you look at it and you say, who do you want to play? Orlando. If they go out, they win now.
Really?
Maybe
really?
They win. We're not even going to talk about it anymore.
Breath,
but
Andy,
you're right.
Andy, take a breath.
Des, it's Lando? My show, man. Don't tell me to take a deep breath. I'm telling you what the deal is from here, Ace.
Okay, but you prefer Orlando?
I'm looking at Orlando, or I didn't want to play the Knicks. Des, we've had this conversation 1,000 times.
Have you watched Orlando this year? All I'm asking is, have you watched Orlando play?
No, I'm just telling you, I don't feel good about the Cavs at all against anybody.
Well, okay,
so
well,
what's the difference?
Because they're not – I don't – the Cavs will be lucky to win a game in the series. Orlando is young. Yeah, they're young. They don't know that. They don't know that. And they're probably a better defensive team than the Knicks. They're huge. You're not scoring on that team.
You don't think Donovan can score on them?
They have a lot of length.
No, I don't. I don't think Donovan can get
inside.
But
you want him back in New York then? I mean, if you think he can't score against Orlando, how is he going to help your Knicks in the future?
I don't know if Donovan's coming to the Knicks. I don't know because I don't think the Cavs will trade him to the Knicks. So it would have to be a three-team trade. I think the Knicks are probably going after Karl Anthony Towns. That's probably mm-hmm. their pick. But I'm watching the way this went down yesterday with Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers is a walking garbage can of a coach. He should be fired. He's terrible. Damian Lillard is toast. That team's going nowhere. The Pacers are winning that series. I'm not afraid of the Celtics. I'm going to tell you this right off the bat. I'm more afraid of the Magic than I am the Celtics. The Knicks play the Celtics
Desmond, it's really early in the day to be drinking, man.
Jeff, I watched the Magic. I watched the Celtics. Joe Mazzulla is a bum. Joe Mazzulla is not leading the Celtics. What have the Celtics done, by the way?
Well, they won a lot of regular season games.
What have they done?
I love Brown Tatum. Porzingis joining them, I like.
They traded Marcus Smart, a proven winner, for Porzingis, a proven bum. The Celtics aren't doing anything.
Yeah, you didn't like him. I get it. I like Drew Holiday there. I think they're the team to beat.
No, the Knicks are the best team in the East. The Knicks are winning the championship.
Right.
Look, yeah, and here's the problem. Sixers, who's afraid of the Sixers? The Sixers bench is trash.
You might not get to the bench.
You have to, Des, come on.
Desmond, it's the playoffs. You don't get to the bench that much. Des, thank you, buddy. We appreciate the call. You don't get to the bench that much in the playoffs. You're going, and I think you should, 7 or 8 deep. I like Nick Nurse. I think I wouldn't want to play any team with Joel Embiid if I'm a playoff team. Mm-hmm. I don't.
I was going to try to get Rangers tickets from him if we were going to keep talking there.
That could be a heck of a series.
And Rangers Capitals?
And Desmond, I appreciate your thought on your team. A Knicks 76ers first round playoff series? Guys, that's a heck of a series right there. I mean, that would be fun to watch. If it was the Knicks and the Heat, you know, if the Heat are able to win, I would pick the Knicks in that series. I would pick the Sixers in the other series, personally. 216-474-0092 is the number to join us. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.